Right.
And Victoria, I'm Ralph, I'm sorry we got it wrong, but we've corrected it here, okay? We'll be back to our callers. We'll be talking about crystals with Ho. I'm Bill Jenkins. I
need to mention it now, which is that we've brought together all our crystal dealers for a display of crystals that is just wild. It's the largest display of crystals we've ever had on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be tomorrow, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday from 11 to 11 at the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel in Studio City. And on Sunday and Monday, I'll be doing free lectures at 2 and at 7:30 on the use of crystals and answering questions. And then Tuesday, we have a very special lecture, which we'll be taping for our crystal cassette tapes on crystals and releasing emotional blocks.
The tapes, by the way, I have thoroughly enjoyed them. You do an excellent job on those.
This is actually the first time we've got them into all the local stores, but we've never really announced them at all. We were going to do that tonight. So here they are, folks, three tapes on crystals.
Well, Dee Dee, we'll be glad to tell you about that when you call it.
Absolutely.
Right. Let's go to Ann, who is on the line here. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Well, I'm fine.
I listen to your show every week when the Dodgers aren't playing. The way they're playing, they might as well not be on.
Oh, come on now. They're going to pull it out.
I hope so.
They did it today.
Maybe we should give them all a crystal.
I think it would
There's
help.
An idea.
That's an idea.
What I wanted to ask you, I went to the Alexandra lecture with Master Ho the last time he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a cluster of crystals to put in the refrigerator, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work. What did I do wrong?
Okay, let's go through the steps again. What we're doing is we're getting a cluster,
uh-huh.
which is lots of little points, and putting it on the top shelf of the refrigerator.
Right, I did that.
And then we are slowly turning the thermostat down.
Oh.
Because, you see, if you do it immediately, it's just too sudden a change. You have to slowly turn it down.
Oh. Do I have to, any kind of a ritual or...
No. Let's get the mysticism out.
Water or something?
No, we try to keep rituals down to a very, very low rumble. No, you just put it in there... And slowly turn the thing down, and you should find that you can keep turning it down.
Oh.
Well, what happened to me, Ann, when Dale gave me my crystal, he said, stick it in your refrigerator.
Right.
And when I got home, about 12:30, I did, beautifully, stick it in the refrigerator and forgot about it.
Right.
Until that afternoon when I went into the refrigerator to get a bottle of beer.
Yeah, and it was frozen?
It was frozen.
Mine didn't.
And I said, I remember, And so I've really had to turn it back. And I have one of those great big, you know, two-door refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always running, and you can see the gas meter. I mean, the meter outside, not the gas meter, but
the
electric
like
meter.
Too.
Sometimes it thinks it's a helicopter, I believe. And so I was very, very happy to have it in there.
You know what else is strange, Ann, is that since we did it, we've been doing it for 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have milk that would go bad every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, that part I noticed was that I could leave a... cracked the milk in there for 2 weeks, and it's just as fresh as the day I put it in there.
Isn't that amazing?
And the vegetables don't seem to go south on you, do they?
No. I got a tomato that's about a week old that's still good.
I wouldn't say it was the crystal that was doing that. It just happened to start happening after you put the crystal in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, does it make any difference what kind of I have amethyst crystals. Is that any different than a clear one?
The difference, there is a difference between them, but it won't affect what's happening in your refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
The difference between them gets important when we start talking about spiritual things or what we call crystal healing or energy balancing. But your refrigerator doesn't know the difference, and they both work beautifully.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Ann.
Uh-huh.
It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins with a special crystal. You want to join us for that? Come on in, then. We will be going into it in detail on October 11th when Nick Nasserino gets here again. But it is the fascinating crystal skull. Explain to me the crystal skull, Ho.
Oh, boy. The crystal skull has got to be the ninth wonder of the world. And explaining the crystal skull is a marvelously fun but complex task. Basically, for those people who have not heard anything about it, the crystal skull is a piece of quartz, which it weighs, I think it's about 5 pounds, and it is anatomically shaped in the form of a human skull. It is anatomically perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking about, in particular, the Mitchell Hedges skull. There are other crystal skulls. Nick believes that there are about 13, but they've located 8 to 10. I say that because just as I was leaving San Francisco, we got word that they'd found a couple more. And I haven't heard anything about that yet, so I can't speak about where.
And these
were
all found in the same general area in Central America. Central America and Mexico.
Right. But the Mitchell Hedges skull was found by Anna Mitchell Hedges in 1927. And nobody knows how it was made. To this day, we couldn't really duplicate it with all the equipment and technology that we have. And it's always been considered a wonder of the world. Some people refer to it as the Skull of Doom, and you see it in a number of different museums, or you find it in books occasionally. But no one's really been able to crack the secret of the skull, what it is, how it was made. And then Nick and his group have been working with them for quite a while, and using something that we call scrying, which is crystal gazing, we've been able to see certain things in there that only complicate the issue. Those things being UFOs and mermaids, animal-man mixtures, groups of people wearing unusual outfits that some people might call space outfits.
Amazing.
It really is. And the more time you spend with the skull and the more time you look at the photographs and things, the more amazing it really gets.
Well, the thing of it here is that you can look at the skull, and whenever you first come into its presence, and it's just a crystal skull sitting there. But then as you look at it, all of this imagery starts playing before your eyes. And quite often you're watching, it looks like the geological formation of the planet Earth and the movement of the continents around.
Now, that's what Nick was talking about.
Right.
And we have to explain something, because what's happened is that people come down to see the skull or to see the pictures, and they don't see that right off.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to explain is that Nick has seen those things because Nick has locked himself into rooms with the crystal skull for days on end,
mm-hmm.
where he's had the opportunity. And most people, through either a photograph or 5 or 10 minutes with the skull, don't have a chance to see all of that.
Right.
But, yes, if you spend some time with it, because we have certainly spent a lot of time looking at slides and photographs, and I've spent quite a bit of time with the skull when I was in San Francisco. And you can certainly begin to see those things in there. And you do see the changes in the Earth and the geological changes that go on. And
it'll also play back things that are in your own consciousness from your own childhood.
The skull, if I phrase it this way, I don't know, I may confuse some people, but the skull acts like a mini computer.
Yeah.
And it puts information out and it takes information in. It's my belief, now this is an opinion, but it's my belief it takes in a lot more than it puts out.
It could be.
While you're reading it, it is reading you. And we've definitely had people experience that and say that they could feel that happening.
Nick was also telling us that it has another amazing property with photographs. You can take pictures of the pictures that it's showing, and your pictures then, after they have been made into photographs, change.
Yes. Now, we have seen this with both the photographs and with the slides. And I think it happens faster with a slide, because with a slide you have light going through it, which is an energy change. But even in the photographs, you can still, if you take a few minutes, and it really, it's people to expect, when you talk about, I'll tell you about a phone call I just had this week, people expect things a little differently or a little more magically than they happen. I had somebody call me up that was talking about crystal balls and thought that all you do is sit in front of the ball and suddenly it plays you a movie. And it's not quite that simple. There's a certain amount of discipline that you, as the crystal ball reader, have to go through, and a certain amount of patience. You have to give it a certain amount of time. But once you devote that little bit of time to it, yes, the whole world opens up to you. And it mentally, just as holding a crystal will change the mental state, the crystal skull is, to my mind, and to the people I've dealt with it, it's very much alive in the standpoint that it does transfer information back and forth. People get tremendous feelings from it. Anna Mitchell Hedges, or Sammy is her nickname, has told us about different things that have happened in terms of what we would call crystal healings. I think it is probably one of the most remarkable things on the planet. And, you know, I know your listeners know about these things because they listen to the Gladdens and they listen to Patrick Flanagan and things. But I get very frustrated because what seems to happen is the establishment will say, this is the way something worked. Man appeared on the Earth, 10 million years ago or something,
whatever.
And that's it. And then they turn around, and when they find fossils, I have a list of 40 fossils that show things like sandal prints with dinosaur prints. And science says, well, we don't know what that is, so we'll just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And here with the crystal skull, it's the same thing. It's just something that no one seems to know much about.
You would think that the great aerospace firms, the great universities, would want to study the crystal skulls. Because they are a phenomenon, and they are real. They are documented. They are a fact. But academia doesn't want to deal with that.
No, and it's unfortunate because we get people who are in those organizations that come to us and sort of pull us aside and say, you know, this is what I work with, and the people I work with probably wouldn't appreciate my being here. So
yeah.
That will happen. It's unfortunate that you have to go through that to get some of this information.
Okay. Well, we just thought we'd touch on the crystal skull. There may be some of you that would want to ask more about it. It is a phenomenon.
And one of the things that we will do is we will bring out the photographs that were shown in San Francisco, and we'll have them for display. Again, it's a free thing, so there's no admission to see it. And you can just come down and look at the photographs all you want.
I've watched the photographs, and I watched them change. And it's not like looking at clouds where you see one thing in a cloud and I see another. I mean, it's a changing that goes on in a photograph. Try that one on. Okay, Brad, you're on.
Yes, I'm curious. Is it ever necessary to recharge crystals? And the reason I ask is one time I put a crystal in a glass of water and put it in the refrigerator, and it did freeze. However, I went to dazzle my friends with this feat, and nothing happened. And I'm curious. I've also heard that placing it in salt water is a method of recharging. I just wonder if that's true.
Well, first, let's start with the salt water first. When Dale and I were first teaching about crystals, we told people to put them in salt or in salt water because we felt that that was what you might call a foolproof system. There are better ways to recharge a crystal than that. First of all, salt does not recharge a crystal at all. Salt actually stops the action within the crystal and slows it down. It's what you might call a neutralizing or a cleansing of the crystal. It does not charge it. Putting energy into a crystal charges it. And to do that, you could either put it in the sun, which takes a certain amount of time, or you could do a mental exercise where you can visualize light going into the crystal, or you could do something even simpler, which we've mentioned once before on this station, and that is the light invocation. And the light invocation is three sentences.
I think I know this.
I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide. And that three sentences, if you hold the crystal and say it three times, actually will balance out the energies of the crystal.
Now, we don't know why.
No,
what
well,
it is about those words. Don't want to be mystic with you, but maybe it's just in the mantra, maybe it's in the chant, maybe it's in the energy.
Well, we believe it's in the thought form, but again, there's really no way to prove that. And as Bill stressed, and I want to stress, I try very hard. I do teach some classes which could be called mystical. But when it comes to crystals, I try very hard to stay away from mystical things, keep it fairly middle of the road, and fairly logical. Because, you see, it's not... If you understand that what we're doing is taking crystals and using them the same way science uses them to amplify energy, the same way they do it in radio and television, or to focus energy as in lasers, or to transform it the same way they use them in solar panels, what we're doing is we're using those same properties, but we're using them with people instead of machinery. And unfortunately, people are a little harder to measure. And
right.
So that falls into what we call metaphysics.
So you wouldn't be hearing us tonight if it weren't for a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
We did that at the top of the show.
Right.
But we have a nice crystal back there, Big Blue, who is our transmitter. Mm. And he's a good guy.
Now, the reason you would want to recharge a crystal, I mean, there could be a number of reasons. You might want to boost the energy level of it. But we talk about recharging when we talk about wearing them. Because one of the properties of crystal is to store information. That's why they're used in computer chips. And what will happen is a crystal will store, one that you're wearing, will store all the emotions in it that you go through. So, for example, let's say that you had a crummy ride home on the freeway and told the guy behind you or in front of you exactly how you thought he drove. You might want to get home and just take a moment to clear that crystal of the energies so that you don't carry that round with you all the time.
I think it'd probably be a good idea not to wear them on the freeway.
It may be an idea, too, yes.
Could you put them in salt water in that case?
In that case, what it will do is it will neutralize the energies and bring it back. But that you have to do overnight. That takes, you know, roughly 8 hours, let's say. This is a 30-second thing that you can just, you say it, and it'll do it.
And how often should you do this? Or is there a set criteria on something like that?
The crystal that I wear, I do every morning when I get up. Actually, I take them off when I get into the shower. Not that you have to, but I do. And when I put them back on, I take all of 30 seconds to clear them.
Every time you foul them up, you ought to clear them, I guess you should say.
Yeah.
So that means you're doing the invocation just all the time.
And I do it any time I put crystals in anything that I'm going to ingest, such as near my food or into my water. I would clear it then, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Brett.
Bye. Glad to have you aboard.
Thank you.
And we have Howard.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Say about a year and a half ago, I think it was, you had, I believe, one of the first crystal broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very interested, obviously, in specifically in two types of crystals. One was for the refrigeration, of course, and then the second was for clarifying water. I live on a boat, and clear water is always a problem. For storing any length of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the refrigeration, of course, requires power to run the refrigerator, so obviously a crystal would be totally advantageous to reduce that power consumption. I got the book, and I bought the two crystals of each type, and over the last year and a half, nothing's happened.
Whoa.
And I don't know whether I was one of those 1 in 10, but I've tried everything. I've recharged it in the sunlight. I've cleaned it in the salt water, you name it. I've tried it, but nothing has happened. Now, the refrigerator, of course, Master Ho, I believe you sent to me a cluster of a little purple segment.
Amethyst cluster.
So, and the refrigerator, the size is 1.5 cubic feet. It's right up in the very top. I've tried it at the very bottom. I've tried it in the middle. I've tried it.
Howard, occasionally, there's a couple of things here. First of all, 1 out of every 10 people, it doesn't work for, and we don't know why. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with belief, because I could sit here and tell you stories forever about people who didn't believe it would work, and it worked. So it doesn't seem to have anything to do with belief. But for some reason, occasionally it doesn't happen. Now, one of the things that we caught on to is that some of the newer, higher, the models that are at the higher end of the line, some of them have some sort of self-regulatory thermostats in them. So you don't really notice the difference. What happens is that as time goes on, you get your electrical bill, and perhaps your electrical bill is lower. It's something that you don't actually sense because the unit, you know, has a balancing thermostat in it. So some people have had that happen to them.
Well, let me. While you're right there, let me inject this, if I may. The refrigerator unit that we have, as I say, I live on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we generate our own electricity. It is basically a 12-volt system. It runs for 30 minutes and is off for 30 minutes. That's a normal duty cycle. Okay. And it has to maintain at least approximately 40 degrees to, you know, keep the food even reasonably safe.
Mm-hmm.
And cold.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed in that. In other words, the unit still runs 30 minutes and off 30 minutes. It is.
And the refrigerator isn't getting any colder.
That's correct. It's basically nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. And whether, as you say, I'm a 1 in 10 that maybe I got a bad crystal, or whether I'm doing something wrong, perhaps you can advise.
Well, the only thing I can advise, first of all, I don't think that there's such a thing as a bad crystal. I would charge the crystal the way we described before. That might be one thing. And the only other thing I can suggest is try it again, put it in the top shelf. And do you have a thermostat in there that you can turn up and down?
Oh, well, no. Well, I do, but it's not a thermostat per se. It only lengthens the cycle time.
It may have something to do with the unit itself, then.
Oh, well, so your regulator, then, is regulating cycle time. It's not regulating temperature, then.
That's correct. In other words, the longer it runs, the colder the unit's going to get.
Well, if your refrigerator got down to its 40 degrees and it did it in 10 minutes, would it keep on running 30 minutes anyway?
No.
It'd stop. It would turn it off. Yeah.
Now, I also, when we were living in the apartment, of course, I tried it in the standard home-type refrigerator. And it didn't do anything there. Because I thought maybe, because I initially brought it to the boat, and that didn't happen, so I took it home and to the apartment and ran it there.
And you put it on the top shelf of the refrigerator.
Oh, yes.
And you turn the thermostat down slowly? Gee, I don't know. Like I said, 1 out of every 10 people, it gets crazy, it doesn't happen, and we don't know why.
There's something about you and crystals, Howard.
Yeah, Howard.
Yeah, it could be, but I'm thoroughly for, and I believe in the capabilities of it. Psychologically, perhaps I am totally in agreement with it. But it just, now, both of these crystals, you know, each for its own application.
Well, now, with the water one, we do a presentation, and I've done it every night now for 5 years. I wouldn't put this up in front of, you know, hundreds of people a night if I didn't think I knew it was going to work. But we've done that where we've taken two glasses of tap water or, say, a bottled water. Tap water, it's easier to taste the difference because tap water has such a marvelous taste all by itself. But,
it does?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it have that marvelous metal taste that everybody likes with the ammonia and chlorine?
I haven't tasted it in a long time.
Well, I don't drink that either anymore now. I drink the bottled waters and I put the crystal in it. But I'll share a story with you that a student called up and told me 2 days ago, and he said, you know, if you want to say it, you can. So this student, whose name is Daniel, had a plastic bottle. He was on a camping trip in the desert. Had a plastic bottle of water with a crystal in it. And make a long story short, he lost the bottle, came home, went back 80 days later, and the bottle was still there. Now, it had been baking in the sun in plastic. You know what water with plastic tastes like.
Uh-huh.
And he opened the bottle, and he passed around to all his friends, and everybody said it was the most refreshing water they'd ever had. There was no plastic taste at all. And I can tell you that being a earthquake-conscious Californian now, say I'm from Boston, where we don't really get earthquakes. We get blizzards, so I'm being trained in earthquake preparedness, and we have lots of bottles of water at the house with plastic, and we have crystals in each one of them, and sometimes those bottles will sit. We had bottles sit there for about a year and a half, and when we finally opened them up and used them, you couldn't taste any plastic at all. The water tasted just delightful. So maybe it's your water, Howard.
That's a possibility.
But if you come on down, we'll do the water test with you and see if we can get you to see a difference. Because
the only thing that I have noticed on the one crystal that is for the water purification, that's about an inch, I would say an inch and an eighth roughly in,
mm-hmm.
in diameter and approximately 2 inches long.
Right.
It's clear, and there's no color to it. If I hold it for any length of time, it does absorb a tremendous amount of heat. It actually is warmer than the heat that I'm putting into it, you know, body temperature, if you will. It will be higher than my body temperature.
Mm-hmm. And your hand will start to perspire, correct?
Yeah, it does get pretty warm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have people hold them during some of the lectures, and sometimes it's very funny to see people just take the thing out and dry their hands on the side of their pants or something and put it back and look at their hands and go, that's strange, a rock shouldn't do that.
So I know it does absorb, you know, a certain percentage of energy, but it just is not dissipating that energy, I guess, in the manner that I am looking for.
I think we need to rework those crystals or do something to them somehow.
Retune them. Now, that's something else I was going to ask quite seriously. If, much like any crystal that you have, Bill, or any in radio broadcasting, you have to tune that crystal to the frequency that you're trying to eliminate.
That's right. If it doesn't come out at 790, you can't find it.
Exactly. Now, I'm just wondering if it's not a you know, function of length that may be making this thing either work or not work.
The only answer I can give you that's going to be a coherent answer at this point is to take the crystal, hold it, think about what it is you want it to do. In fact, talk to it. Treat it like it's a living thing. Okay, and tell it what you want.
When nobody is around.
Right. Right.
You're talking to what?
Right. Do it during the news, you see. Don't do it now while we're on the air, but during the news, try it. And take two glasses of water, put them about 6 feet apart, drop the crystal into one, and see if you can taste a difference in about 3 to 5 minutes later on. In fact, anyone at home can do that. Again, just take two glasses of tap water, put them about 6 feet apart, drop the crystal into one of them, give it 3 minutes, give it 5 minutes, and taste and smell back and forth and see if there's a difference.
Where do you, just curiosity, where do you come up with 6 feet? Is this just something that is arbitrary?
No, it's actually got to do with things that we've measured. There seems to be an effect. If you keep the glasses of water close together, the crystal can radiate enough energy to affect the other one. So 6 feet gives it a good distance. It doesn't have to be exactly 6 feet. I certainly don't need or want people running around the house with rulers and things, but just give it a good distance between them.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it might be 2 meters that may be more
accurate. Well, whatever. Yeah,
no, it's not that that specific, Howard.
Okay, Howard.
Very good. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Howard.
We need to solve his crystal problem there somehow.
I think so. We'll have to see if we can help him.
You're on Open Mind tonight. With me is Ho. We're talking.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You have a fantastic show. I really like it.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I tapled quite a few of them. Question I have is, I have about a 7-pound nickel iron meteorite that's comprised of I think they're nickel iron crystals. I just wondered, do they have any properties, or is it just the quartz that has the properties that you're talking about?
Well, the properties that we're talking about are specifically quartz. There are definitely other gems and stones and minerals and irons and metals that have different properties. We're really focusing on the quartz. As far as a meteorite goes, if I said to you, well, it carries all the energies of outer space, I don't know if you can work with that, but that's what I'm going to say to you.
Well, I put it under my bed a few times. I've had some interesting dreams. So.
Whoa.
That's,
maybe,
yes.
So.
I would bet that could happen.
Yeah. One other question to Bill.
Yeah.
Does Grace Coveney still have her tree?
I think she does. You know, I haven't talked to Grace in a year, I guess.
I went out I did see it. It's quite interesting.
The tree is, for those who don't know, Grace Coveney is a delightful lady. She's been on the show a couple of times. She's a psychic lady. And I guess it's 8 or 9 years ago now, she went down and got a Christmas tree, like we all do at Christmas time, with the little crossboards on the bottom of it, and set it up on the little crossboards, didn't have the little water thing underneath it. And it refused to stop smelling nice, and it refused to die. And it's
maybe
been there for years.
Maybe there's a crystal inside it somewhere.
I don't know.
What an interesting thought, though.
But the Christmas tree, I think, is still there. And they've had all kinds of people trying to say that Grace is changing the Christmas tree around. And, of course, she's not going to do that at all.
No.
She's had some marvelous experiences with it. I have been there. I have seen the tree. I saw it when it had been there about 5 years, and it was still there. The outer needles were getting a little dry and brown, but they were soft.
Hmm.
It's still fragrant, too.
And it's still fragrant.
Yeah.
And I doubt if she is squirting something on it to make it fragrant. In fact, I can just tell you she's not.
After 5 years, I couldn't think of anything she could squirt on it that would make it
so
fragrant.
It's another one of those amazing things that can't be done, but nevertheless it is. She's out in Calabasas.
That's right.
Grace Coveney.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate it. And your guest.
All right. Thank you, John.
Good
night. Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
And we have Barbara. Hi.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you and Hope?
So far, so good, except for Howard.
Oh.
Howard and his crystal.
Oh, okay.
We're working on it, Howard.
Yeah. Bill, I heard you mention that your wife wears a crystal necklace.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, does it produce any special kind of energy while wearing it? And I guess it must be of the quartz crystal.
Oh, it is a quartz crystal. It's a pendant, really.
Yeah.
That Dale Walker gave her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of energy. But then again, she always has had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I cannot say. You'd have to talk to Evelyn if she is experienced. She hasn't really related that it did anything unusual. She just loves it, other than get rid of her wart.
Yeah. Mm. I remember years ago, I had a beautiful crystal necklace. Of course, I only bought it because it was so pretty and it had so many colors, you know, that used to bounce off it. I'm sorry now that I hear about these crystals, but I never did keep that crystal necklace. But I was just wondering, I know recently I saw crystal necklaces in one of the stores, and if my memory serves me right, I believe they said it came from Austria. Now, would that have to be a special kind of crystal, or could it have been lead crystal?
No, if it was an Austrian crystal, it was lead crystal or glass.
Oh,
Austrian crystal, lead crystal, Vienna crystal, they sell it now as melted quartz, anything to get it off the shelves. It's not quartz. It is glass, and it has lead in it. And what happens is that the body doesn't want lead on it.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really want glass on it, and that weakens the energy field or the aura. When you wear a quartz piece, an actual natural quartz, it amplifies the energy around the body. And this can be demonstrated both through Curlian photography or through various forms of other types of measurements. We've demonstrated that you can increase the aura or the auric field or the bioenergy field around the body. And some people feel that they get a lot more energy from it, that they've stayed a lot healthier. I know I have a lot of mothers who have come to me and said that they've had their children wearing quartz and they don't get flus and colds anymore. So there's definitely a change. And when we do this presentation and the free lectures on Sunday, Monday, we will definitely demonstrate what happens when you wear quartz.
Well, then if I were to, let's say, for example, if I were to buy a crystal necklace, would it specify the type of crystal that is in that necklace, or do they just refer to it as crystal and that's it?
Well, usually what they're doing is they'll say Austria or Vienna crystal. Sometimes they'll say lead crystal.
Uh-huh.
No, the markings are not always so obvious, and you really have to be an intelligent consumer and keep an eye out for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have done a lot of conventions where people will come up to me and show me something and say that they were told it was natural quartz, and it isn't. And it's just that sometimes the people running the stores don't even know what they're buying. So we're talking about the natural quartz.
So then crystal actually is never made of glass. If glass, I guess, all by itself is also not a mineral, or is it?
Well, glass is sand, and there's some lead in there, and they mix it all together so that you have more control over it. I'm not a scientist, and I'm not going to pretend to be. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend that I am, nor do I want to try and sit up here and throw out chemical formulas that nobody...